The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
This week is Parshas Vayishlach, and in almost all the previous years, I spoke about Gid Anosha. Various different sugis associated with Macholas Asurais. Today the posuk on which we base the shiur would be a surprise to everyone, at least as long as we don't get into the sugya. So the posuk towards the end of the parsha, Ve'ele b'nei seir ha'choyri, yoshvei ha'oretz loitan v'shoival v'tzivon v'ano. How could you base a sugya, lamda shalachek sugya, on this posuk? Shabbos pehei omed aleph. Ele b'nei seir achori yoshve ha'oretz. Ota kuli alme yoshve rakia ninhu. Yoshve ha'oretz. Don't all human beings live on the land? Where do the others live? In the heavens? Shoalim chazal. Chazal ask. Ele shayu b'kiyim b'yeshuv ha'shaloretz. V'yod'im, meloi kona zesim, meloi kona te'enim, ha'choyri, shayu mirechim et ha'oretz, v'yodeya mara uila. And Rashi quotes this Gemara in Chumash, on our posuk, Shabbos Pehei. What is the context of the Gemara? Dinei kil'ayim, kil'ei zeroim. How much space do we need between the Geffen and the Zeroim? Other vegetables, other trees. What is the Shir Yenika? And the Gemara asks, how do Chazal know? How do Chazal know how much we need to separate one species from the other? Chazal bring the posuk, B'nei Seir Achoyri. Chazal asked them, and Chazal relied on their expertise, on their knowledge, on their scientific observation. So the topic we will be discussing today is, to what extent does halacha rely on scientific knowledge? And this is such an important sugya to discuss in these days, because we are still in the midst of a terrible pandemic. Baruch Hashem, we're waiting for the vaccine. And just yesterday night, I was on a conference call with one of the top experts in the world in vaccination and epidemiology, with a group of Rabbonim. So we all hope that B'Korav we will have an effective vaccine, but we still are in the midst of a pandemic. And there are so many amongst us that totally disregard rules and regulations that are put forward by experts in their field, that highly recommend wearing masks, social distancing, hygiene. And there are still so many amongst us that laugh it all away. So, what is the approach of Chazal and the greatest poiskim of every generation? Do we disregard scientific knowledge, or does halacha accept in many different areas? And I will touch upon 8 different sugyas. And in each and every one of them, we will see that halacha doesn't laugh away scientific knowledge. Halacha is based on the collective understanding and knowledge of the world of science, of mumchim, each of them in his respective field. So let's embark on our journey. Sugya number 1, Gemara and Shabbos Pehei. Ele b'nei seir achori yoshvei ha'oretz. And Chazal learned from them, how much do we need to be marchik between one mean and the other in the sugyas of kil'ei zeroim? Is that posik egzeres ha'kosuf? Is it from the posik that we learn that we rely on scientific knowledge? Maybe. As we will see in a few minutes, that's the approach, the opinion of the Chassam Sofer. But if not for the Chassam Sofer, I would say, it's a poshet asfora. E'efshar be'inyan achar. Because our Torah, contrary to many others, lahavdil elef alfei avdolos, is a Torah's chayim. To be a good Jew is not enough to love and to believe. You need to observe, you need to perform. We have taryag mitzvahs that dictate every aspect of our life. B'machshova b'dibur u'b'maisa, 24/7, 60 minutes every hour, 365 days every year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it all. And there are so many areas in halacha in which, how could we know what to do if we don't understand the science and the metzius achayim in so many different areas? So the Torah says, v'chaye behem, pikuach nefesh doich ha-shabbos. But how would we know what is pikuach nefesh if we wouldn't rely on doctors, on medicine? How would we know? So does the Torah expect every Rav, every Talmud Chochem, to spend 15 years of his life or 10 years of his life to study medicine? Of course not. There were Gedol Yisroel that were very famous doctors, most notably the Rambam. But those were exceptions. So how would we know how to define Pikuach Nefesh if we wouldn't rely on doctors? And how would we know Kil Ezroim if we wouldn't rely on the mumchim in chaklaot, in agriculture, and those people that understand the earth, and they understand fruits and vegetables and trees, and so many different areas? So I think it's a poshet asvora, e efsha beinyanacha. So what do we need to bring from the posak ele b'nei seir achoyri? Just a technicality. How did Chazal know? Gimel Tfochim Harchoka. How did they know? They learned from Bnei Seir HaChayri. The Pasuk just teaches us there are people that know. And because there are people that know, we rely on them. So let's move forward. Source number one, Kil Ezeroim, Shabbos Pehei Omud Aleph. Source number two, Dam Beitzim. And why do I put this number two on the list? Because of the Chassam Sofer. Chulin Samach Dalad Umet Beis Yoredei Simen Samach Vov. Those are the sources in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. And there's a big machloikis in the Gemara. Dam Beitzim that's Osur. Which part of the egg? The Chelbon or the Chelmon? I don't ever say, I don't know the terminology. What's the Chelbon and what's the Chelmon of an egg? The white part or the yellow part? Most Rishonim maintain based on the Gemara. If it's on the chalbon, on the white part, you throw away the blood and you could eat the egg. If it's on the chalman, on the yellow part, on the nucleus of the egg, that the entire beitza must be discarded, must be thrown away. I don't want to go into details of this halacha because we're not learning hilchas beitza. There's a difference between beitza that were brought to be by reproduction, between male and female, and others that are safna ma'ara. But we won't go into details. The ra'o bedek abayis, daf peites omud aleph in bedek abayis. The ra'o has a totally different opinion, contrary to most other rishonim. And he says the ikar dam is dafke bechelboin and not bechelmoin. And the ra'o says, based on the Gemara Chulin Samach Dalad Amud Beis, there was a mistake. There was a misunderstanding. And Chachomim thought originally that the Iker Dam is on the Chelmoin. But it was in a later time became clear to them to the contrary. There's an amazing pshat of the Chassam Sofer. Tshuvas Yoredei HaSimen, Ayin Ches at the end of the Simen. And the Chassam Sofer gives this pshat in the Gemara. In this shurim, I can't go into details of any given sugya because we have so many sugyas to deal with. So I rely on the listeners. If you want a more thorough understanding, learn the sugyas. So the Chassam Sofer says, Chazal relied on biologists. Just like they relied on the agricultural experts. And he quotes the Gemara Shabbos Pehei. And the biologist shared with Chazal their observation and their understanding that the bird is born, originates from the nucleus of the egg. And that is why they're paskin dam in the chelmoin asers, not in the chelmoin. That is true regarding oifis tmeim. They weren't aware, the goyish researchers, that oifis tahedam are different. And an oif tor develops from the chelmoin, not the chelmoin. That was the understanding. And the Chasam Sofer writes, it took hundreds of years till they realized this mistake. So what we learn from the Chasam Sofer is that in this area, Dan Beitzim, once again, Chazal relied on the scientists and the knowledge they accumulated in their day and age. And that is what caused this misunderstanding. So just like Chazal relied on the scientists to decree and to define Hilchas Kala'ayim, Klei Zroim, same as with Dan Beitzim. Hilchas Neda, Gemara Mefereshes Neda Chov Beis Amid Beis, when there was a question whether it's Dam Neda or not Dam Neda or Dam Maka, Rabbi Elazar Ben Tzedek tells two different stories, two different instances, two different cases, in which this question came before his great father. And his father said, Nishala Chachomim. And the Chachomim said, Nishal Leroifim. We should ask doctors. And the doctors decided. And most of the Achroina, most of the poets can prove from that Gemara that in Hilchas Neda, we rely on the doctors to teach us, is this Dam Nidis or is it Nam Dam Nidis? Would it be a Dam Maka? Minchas Osher, two different tshuvas, Shalash tshuvas, Chelik Beisim Emem Tes, and once again, Kuf Lamed Hei. I dealt at length with the sugi, and I don't want to go into details, but that is the basic sugi from which we learn. Yes, in Hilchas Neda, we rely on experts in their field. Kuf Tzadak Alef Sif Kotn Dalet and Turei Zohar, he speaks about Kartin. Kartin is something that seems like blood. It is solid. It's not liquid. Very small particles. And the Taz says, it's not Damaka. And the woman would not be a Neda. The Chacham Tzvi in a Tshuva Siman Ayin Gimel in the first Chelek says that the Taz was Mater Isur Koreis. Wow. The Taz was Mater Isur Krisus. Most Achrenim reject the Chacham Tzvi. And they agree with the Taz. Most notably, Shev Yankov, who was a Ben Dori of the Chacham Tzvi almost. Two different Tshuvas, I think it's Lamed Vov, Lamed Ches. Tshuvas of Chaim Cohen Rappaport, who was also a contemporary of the Chacham Tzvi Siman Lamed Hei. They disagree with the Chacham Tzvi. 100 years later, we find the Tshuvan Shoyel HaMeish of Madura Aleph, Chele Gimel, Siman Kuf Yudalet, Reb Chaim Cohen Rappaport, and the Shoyel HaMeish both say, doctors say that these karten come from a problem, a kidney problem, and it has nothing to do with the uterus. It is not Dam Neda. And we rely on the doctors in Hilchas Neda, and the Taz is right. And how do we know that we rely on doctors? That's the Gemara Neda Chav Beis Amud Beis. Sugya number 4 is the broadest sugya and the most well-known, Pikuach Nefesh. As I mentioned before, and these sugyas appear primarily in two different areas, Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Chof Ches, Shin Chof Tes, where Machalas Shabbos for Chodesh Yesh B'Sekona, and in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, Tov Reish Yud Ches, Chodesh Yesh B'Sekona eats in Yom Kippur. So it is the Rabbonim, the Rabboki and Alocha, but how would we know whether a person that's sick needs to eat or does not need to eat? How would we decide who needs to drink and who does not? And who could get away with shiurim? And who needs to eat more than shiurim? How would we know? Do we have the tools to decide if we wouldn't rely on doctors? There is no other way about it. So in those two tshuvas, Chelik Beis Minchas Osher, I dealt Barichas Gedoylo in the huge controversy about Nemonis Reifen. Do we rely on doctors? And Echsam Soifen of Yuchivas has a very strong opinion. He says, we do not rely on doctors in a definitive way. So how do we rely on doctors about Pikuach Nefesh? Because a doctor has an amonis to create a suffix. And by Pikuach Nefesh, suffix is enough. Suffix is sufficient. Suffix Pikuach Nefesh, Doche Kola Tore Kola. But we won't rely on them definitively. Bitzada Vadai, only Bitzada Suffix. That's an amazing opinion. But I want to disagree with the Chassam Sofer and also explain the Chassam Sofer. Most Achronim disagree. And to me, it was always a wonder. According to the Chassam Sofer, how would we understand Tov Reish Yud Chesiv Gimel? It is there that we learn. One doctor says the Chole needs to eat in Yom Kippur. Two doctors say he does not need to eat. We won't feed him. We would rely on the two against the one. If all the power doctors have is only to create a suffix, it's still a suffix. Because we cannot rely definitively not on the one that says he does need to eat and not on the ones that say he doesn't need to eat. So a suffix is still a suffix. And by Shabbos, even by Yom Kippur, even the most remote suffix, even a svek sveikah, we're machal Shabbos and we eat in Yom Kippur. So how do we understand that halacha? I think that halacha proves it's not a suffix. We trust doctors and we rely on them. And that is why we rely on the majority against the minority. They have the upper hand. But if all doctors could do is just create a suffix, it's hard to understand this dip. But let me make a most important comment. Most important comment. In the question of an Amonis Reifim, we're dealing with two different questions, which are totally distinct and different. One is, do we rely on their knowledge and expertise? The other question is, do we believe and trust a given doctor? The Chassam Sofer questions question number two. And when the Chassam Sofer says we don't rely on doctors, it is because not always would we believe them. Going back 200 years, it was a different world. And the Chassam Sofer says, the non-Jewish doctors, why would we believe them? Maybe they're lying. The Chassam Sofer doesn't question their know-how, their expertise. The Chassam Sofer says, we don't believe doctors unless they're Jewish and Yirei Shamayim. That is his approach and argument. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer is relevant when we have a sick man at home and we call a doctor and the doctor says he needs to eat or regarding Hilchos Nida or any other question. But the Chassam Sofer is not relevant when we're dealing with universal and collective scientific knowledge. They don't lie. 100,000 doctors and experts in the world spanning 100 years or 200 years don't have an interest to lie. Regarding question number one, does halacha accept the collective knowledge of scientists, of medical experts, of experts in any field? The Chassam Sofer would totally agree. Of course we do. As we proved in the first four sources and in the coming ones. So pikuach nefesh, there's no other way to determine a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakon, only relying on doctors. But the coming source is even more compelling, more convincing, and more powerful. We rely on experts and on doctors by Pikuach Nefesh, taking a man's life. And you don't kill a person B'Mokam Safek. So this proves we rely on doctors Al Tzad Avadai V'lo K'Divrei Chassam Sofer. And this is the Mishnah Seneda 9 Ches. Hamakas chaveroi, be'even o be'egroif, ve'meis. We need an evaluation. Did the person die as a result of the maka? Person was assaulted and he was hurt. It is only if he dies as a direct result of the wounds inflicted upon him by the one that assaulted him. that there's a din of Rotzeach Chayev Misa. So I ask, who does that evaluation? Who is authorized to do that evaluation, if not doctors? So we rely on doctors by Pikuach Nefesh, by Dina Nefoshes. Not Pikuach Nefesh Lekula, Dina Nefoshes Lechumra. However, Rashi, on the Mishnah, Tzened Na'aches Omed Aleph, Oymed Al Yedei Beisdin. So Rashi says, Beisdin needs to evaluate and assess, not doctors. But I ask, and exactly why would Beis Din be qualified? What tools do Beis Din have? So to me, it's a milsa de pshita. We're dealing with judgment. We're dealing with bina nefashis. We're dealing with Beis Din. So Beis Din must personally bear responsibility. They can't read a book. They can't write a letter to a doctor. I don't even think they could have a Zoom conversation. The doctor will come before Beis Din and he will be questioned. And Beis Din will need to be convinced about his trustworthiness and his expertise. But ultimately, it is only doctors that could say, Imeis machamas hamaka, or lo meis machamas hamaka. Today, the modern world, it's usually done by a post-mortem surgery. So, by halakha criteria, we have a big problem with doing that. But going back 2,000 years to the days of Chazal, and 1,000 years to the days of the Rambam, this evaluation could only be done by doctors. And I think Rashi means to say that Beis Din needs to bear responsibility. I have a beferesh raya from the Rambam. Perik beis halocha hei mehilchis roitzeach. And that is another halocha. Once again, a mesechet and sanandim we learn, ahoyriges atreifa, einoi chayev misas Beis Din. If the person that was killed was a treifa, the Gemara says, gavr ketila kotal. How would we know whether he was a treifa or not? The Rambam lehedya, Ben Furish writes, we need to ask doctors. He was ill. Was he terminally ill? Was he hopelessly ill? Then he has a din of a treifa. Hahor goy potu. But if his illness could be cured in any way, he does not have a din of a treifa. And the person that killed him is a rotzeach and chayev misa. So it's Mefurish HaRambam, yes, we rely on doctors to decide, is a person Chayev Misa or not. So we rely on the input of medical experts in Dinei Nefoshes. And we also do so by Isurei Erva, and that brings us to another Mishnah, Gittin Ayin Beis Omed Alef. Hanoisin Get Le'ishtai V'yom, Ari Meisi Machoy Lezeh Harei Zeh Get. He gave a divorce, but he stipulated when he gave the divorce. It is only if I die from my present illness that this should be a get. He died. But we don't know what brought about his demise. Is it this illness or maybe an accident or something else? So the Mishnah says, Im meisi mechoyli zeh harei zeh get. So we need an assessment, an evaluation. Did he die mechoyli zeh? Who would do that evaluation, if not doctors? So we rely on medical expertise to decide to validate or invalidate a get. One might ask, but he died. So she's either a grusha or an almona. So what's the big deal? What would be the big difference? Could she remarry to a kohen or not? No, no, no. She might be chayev b'yibum v'chalitza. And if the get is valid, then she could marry without chalitz. So that is isurei bia. And how do we decide? Asking doctors. Interesting, the Ramah, Evan Ezra Kuf Mem Hei Siftes, the Ramah says, Ein Anu Bikiyim. So we would no longer rely on any evaluation. Interesting. So how about Ritzayach? Well, There is no Beis Din Bizman Hazeh. We're not Dan Din and Nefoshes. So regarding these two halachas, they're no longer relevant Bizman Hazeh, at least according to the Ramah. But the Beis Yosef doesn't write so. The Ramah says, Einonu Bekiyim, and therefore we would not rely on medical evaluation to validate or invalidate a get. In Minchas Osher Chelek Gimel Siman Pei Zayin, and when I quote things that I wrote about in length, I will not go into details. I just need to fill out my list of 8 different sources. So source number 7 is DNA, genetic screening. So in our day and age, we discovered a whole new world
that Kol Halashon,
our forefathers were totally unaware of. And that is genetics. So today, by examining DNA, we could determine family relationships. And this opens up a Pandora's box. So many different questions in so many different fields. So Bote Din and courts in the world ask for DNA input in many different areas. Kviat Avahut. Sometimes there's an argument in a court case between a man and a woman, and the woman says, you are the father of my son, and I want you to support him, to give financial support. Do we rely on DNA testing to determine, yes, this is father and son? Some years ago, I had an interesting question. From a city, a little city in the Caucasus, in Voronezh, and in that Russian town, I don't think today it's in Russia, I think it's in one of the Islamic republics that once were part of the USSR. A mass grave was uncovered by a especially rainy winter, and the Mumchen determined it's from the Nazi period, and about approximately 70 skeletons were in one mass grave, and the grave was washed open, and the bodies exposed. So al pi halacha, you cannot bury 2 people in 1 grave. So the Rav of the community turned to me and he said, what are we supposed to do? It is impossible after 70 years to fit them together. How would we decide whose head belongs to whose arm and the legs? And the only way would be to crush part of all those bones and do DNA testing, which would cost tens of thousands of dollars. And is it the right thing to do? And my psak was, we don't bury 2 people together. We don't want them to fight around and be uncomfortable in one small grave. But these guys were 70 years together. Whatever arguments they had probably were put to rest. And they finally came to be comfortable one with another. Just leave them alone. If you separate them, they're going to be terribly lonely in their graves. So what I say, obviously I say with a little touch of humor, but that was my psak. And it's actually halachically valid. But anyway, so this is a huge sugya. And my psak was, we totally rely on DNA. It is totally reliable, except for Dina Nefoshes and Mamzerus. These areas need Eidus and nothing less. So we cannot decide that a person is a Mamzer based on DNA evaluation. But regarding all the other halachas, yes, we rely on medical opinion and analysis on many areas in halacha. So source number 8 is the most broad-based, Isur Veheta. Do we rely on Mumchim? So the sugya starts in Chulin Tzadik Zayin. Isur Shenasara Veheta Min B'Shiyein Amin Oy B'Nois and Tam. How do we know what's Nois and Tam? Chazal say Shishim. But by basic halachic criteria in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch as well, and the very first Sif and Simen Sadik Ches, we rely on a kfela. We take a chef, a non-Jewish chef, who is a mumche, he should taste the dish. And we rely on him saying, does it have a tam isor or not? Is this a source to prove that we rely on scientific knowledge? No. Because the Rabbi Yosef quotes the Rashba, Yoredei Tzadik Ches, and that is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, the vast majority of Poskim. Tam iso, einoi oiso, only if the tam is evident to the average person. If the average person says, I don't feel the tam of the Tarevis of the Miut, but a mumche says, I could discern a certain flavor, a certain tam, that doesn't asa. So why does the Gemara say we bring a chef? Because we wouldn't trust a layman. It is only a professional, uman lo mare umnosei. A professional doesn't want to jeopardize his reputation, and therefore we rely he's going to say the truth. That is why we need a professional. Not because we rely on his expertise. We don't want his expertise. Ein atam oisar elo amken nirgash l'roiv b'nei adam. It is the simple people that would decide, do we feel the tam or not? The reason we want the kfeil is because otherwise, maybe he's just lying, maybe he's just joking. Umen lo mar umnesei. But there are many sources, I think tens of sources. I just wrote a few that were saved in my memory. Many sources in which Gedolei Yisrael throughout the ages, yes, relied on professionals. On chemists, on Handasat Chomarim. What's Handasat Chomarim in English? Engineers in analyzing different materials. Maybe I don't know. Handasat Chomarim. What do I mean? Shuvas Maram Shik Simakuf Mem. So the Ramshik deals with some new technology of dishes. I think he means porcelain, in which it is a metal utensil, metal key, but it is coated with some kind of a glass covering. Is it boileya v'maflit? Could we do a gola like clay matches? Or maybe is it clay cheres? There is no agola. Eina yoytse midei doif meli oylam. And the Ramshik Simakuf Mem says, I have seen a report from scientists, professorim bifakulta. So it's written in Yiddish, in German, about 35 letters. It took me a while till I got through those two words, but it's the professorim from the faculty, from the faculta in university. And they wrote that it's like klimatris, and therefore I paskin, we could do hagola. So the Maram Shik relies on mumchim in their field. 200 years ago, there were several different controversies, similar in nature. Chuvis Shoyel Umeshev, Madur Gimel Chelek Alef Semen, Shin Ayin Zayin, Marsham Chelek Gimel Reish Tes Vav. Oil was imported from America to European communities, and there were rumors that there is a teroivus of shuman menachai, animal, fat, oil. And Gedolei Yisrael dealt with the question. Both the Shoyel Umeshev and the Marsham say, we should test in a laboratory, and the chemist should determine, and we would rely on them. 180 years ago, there was a big controversy regarding tzikoria. Tzikoria is a substitute for coffee. Coffee was very expensive in those days. So there were various different substitutes. And once again, in the press, the Jewish press of that era, there were some reports that the shuman chazia, pig oil in tzikoria. And that was a huge controversy. The Prima Godem Tov Samech Zayin in Lichus Pesach Mishvetzei Zohar, Reb Shloime Kluger, Tuv Tav Das, Madura Gimel Chelek Beisim and Yud Gimel, were Mekel, the Divrei Chaim, Chelek Beis Yerodei Nun Gimel was Machmir. In the annual publication Yeshurun, published by my dear friend Rabbi Shlomo Gottesman of the Aguda in America. It's an amazing sefer. Yud Tes. There's a brief historic overview about this controversy, but there's a new letter printed from Rab Chaim Berlin. Rab Chaim Berlin was the great son of the Netziv, the Rav of Moscow. In his later years, he was Megadol Yerushalayim. And he deals with this question, and he writes, I presented the case to a very famous laboratory in Moscow, and their report was that there is no Zecher of Shuma Menachai, and therefore we could use Sikoria. So these sources prove that regarding Issa Veheta, once again, yes, we did rely on scientific knowledge. So this is very clear to me in many different areas of halacha. And there's no other way to be a shoyma Torah v'mitzvahs. Yes, we do rely on scientific knowledge. Do we always trust any doctor? No. I think we have all learned in the past few months there are crazy people everywhere. There are crazy doctors as well. Just like there are crazy people in any other area. And in the internet, you could find so many crazy theories signed by people that have awesome credentials. PhDs and MDs, and there also are amaratzim everywhere. I just want to give you an example. Tshuvas Knesset Yecheskel, going back more than 300 years, of Yecheskel Katzenelboim, Simen Tet Zayin. So there was a Rav that paskened in his town that you can do mila unless you have hot water to wash the baby after the mila. But the Beis Yosef in Shin Lamed Aleph already writes, even though in the times of the Mishnah that was accepted practice and it was considered pikuach nefesh, but in our day and age we no longer wash a baby with hot water after the bris. Does anybody do that today? No one does. There is no need. And that was already known in the days of the Beis Yosef, and that's what he paskens in Shin Lamed Aleph. So he can be Mechal al Shabbos to boil water to wash a baby after the bris. But that Rav said, that the doctors in his town said, Machmas kilkelu avio, because the air is bad. That means there's an epidemic. And therefore, we once again need to wash babies after the bris with boiling water, with hot water. And the Knesset Yecheskel was asked, do we rely on that psak to boil water on Shabbos? And he says, no, it's against the Beis Yosef. We rely on the Beis Yosef. And he writes, I don't think doctors understand about kilkul hu avir. So is this Knesset Yecheskel a source to question scientific opinions? No. No, definitely not. In his tshuva, the Knesset Yecheskel writes, we should ask bigger mumchim. And I think his common sense was so correct, because Gedoli Yisrael, besides their Kedusha and their knowledge, have straight heads, have common sense. What's the kesher between Kilkola Avin and washing a baby after the bris? Common sense dictates. What's the kesher? Doesn't make sense. So he was right to question. And I think those doctors were Amei Oretz. They didn't know what they're talking about. So we rejected their opinion based on the Beis Yosef. But he also writes, I feel we should ask Reira Mumchim. And in reality, a doctor, this is not a doctor's business. With the coronavirus, it's not your family doctor that tells you that you need to wear a mask. It's not your dentist that will tell you that you need to social distancing. This is based on the collective understanding of epidemiologists, of doctors in their field, of scientists, the world over. And it's not new. This is known for 100 years or more. It was known by Chazal when they say, Kanes Leglecho, space out. It was known by Rebbe Akiva Eiger 200 years ago, as I quoted many times. So the Knesset Yecheskel was right to question those doctors. 100 years passed, and we find a tshuva in Mamer Mordechai, Simen Samach Zayin. Rav Mordechai Zev Ittinger, He was a brother-in-law of the great Shoyalim Eshev, and he has a very choshev sefer, was one of the poiskim of the door. And he was asked, Tof Reish Lamed Gimel, would we send healthy people to eat Tisha B'Av in the outbreak of cholera, of the cholera epidemic? Because the doctors say, Kilkelu Avio. I addressed the question of Kilkelu Avio in one of my previous shurim. And he quotes the Knesset Yechezkel. Knesset Yechezkel questions what the doctors understand about Kilkelu Avio. But nevertheless, he paskins, they should eat. And he writes, I remember my great uncle, the Yeshuas Yankov, going back 42 years, Tov Kuf Tzadok Aleph Paskin, they should eat, we should send them to eat on Tisha B'Av. V'kol ha-meikel b'dvor ha-meila ha-reiz ha-meshubach. And I think once again, common sense had the upper hand. Knesset Yechezkel was right to question the doctors that said, because something is wrong in the air, you need to wash the babies after the bris. Doesn't make sense. But the Mama Mordechai was right to paskin at the end of the day. Regarding the well-being and the health of the community during an epidemic, they should eat. They should drink. So what I mean to say is, not always would we rely on a given doctor, especially when it's not his field of expertise. But it is clear as sunlight, Shemesh b'tzorayim v'beyase b'kutcha, that we do rely on the professional opinion of doctors, of scientists in their respective fields. And we brought 8 different sugyas. Dina nefoshes evene ezer gitin kilei zroem, which she started off the posik in the weekly parasha. So definitely, we cannot ignore the opinion of the universal opinion of professionals the world over. And this opinion is substantiated by many, many generations of medical research and knowledge and understanding how we need to act in a time of a pandemic. So I think this is a very important and a very fascinating sugya, and I did my best to bring together many sources. So this week's Parshas Vayishlach, and we read about the struggle, we learn about the struggle between Yaakov and Soresh and Esav. The struggle began before Yaakov and Esav were born, but it reached its dramatic climax in this week's Parsha. Vayaovik ish imui. Vayar kilo yocholoi vayiga bekaf yarechoi vateke chaf yerech Yaakov. This struggle is a never-ending one. It goes on in every generation. And the struggle affected every generation till Bias HaMoshiach, to good and to bad. On one hand, Perek Gimel of Medrash Shir HaShirim, Kol Roich Leshi Yesu Aloysen V'matzlichen, B'schos Avok Shel Yankov, Kol Parkamat Yeshi Yesu Aloysen V'matzlichen, B'schos Avok Shel Yankov, כל המלחמות שישו אלוהים ומצליחים בזכות האבק של יעקב. כל התורה שלומדים ומצליחים בזכות האבק של יעקב. ויאבק איש אמוי. חולן צדק עליו. הלו אבק. The dust rise till the כיסא הכבוד. And all our success throughout the ages is בזכות האבק של יעקב אבינו. All our tragedy throughout the ages originates in that same struggle. And the Medrash in this week's parasha says, Noga b'tzadikim shebekol doya v'doya. Esav hurt the tzadikim of kol doya v'doya. Chazal also say, Doiroi shel shmad. So Yaakov limps away. We are limping as well. Soresh shel Esav hurt Yaakov, he hurt us as well. Because many times I explained, we are Yaakov, and Yaakov is us. After all, Yaakov is Yisrael, and we are Yisrael. And of all the others, Yaakov is the one that paves the way throughout the Golos. Yaakov Tikkun Arvus, Arvus is the tefillah of night, and night is a remez legalus. So yes, we pay the price in every generation, the price of that struggle. And we reap the benefits of that struggle in every generation. Of Akshel Yankov. V'teikechav Yerech Yankov. So yes, we reap the benefits and we pay the price in each and every generation. Ad Bias Hagoyel. So what is this all about? Sefer HaChinuch explains why it is so important to remember this struggle. Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael esgid anosha. It is very rare that the Torah explains a lav. The Torah explains the lav. Because of that struggle, and because v'teikechav yerech yankov al kein, Sefer HaChinuch explains how important it is to remember that struggle. And it is only by remembering that we would have chizik and we would prevail in this galus. So let me share with you a profound thought I had. Shin Samechei Lavin Kereged Shin Samechei Yemois Hashana. That is a very well-known chazal. 365 days in the sun year. Can I get 365 lotes Shabbat Torah? It is not only 365 against 365. Each and every mitzvah is associated with a certain day. But we don't know which mitzvahs, which days. But we do know one mitzvah and its connection to one day. And how do we know that? From the Zoya. And from the Ari HaKodesh and Pri Etz Chaim Drush L'Chag HaShavuos. Gid Anosha is associated with Tisha B'Av. Seder HaDoiris. Seder HaDoiris is not only history. He was one of the Gedolei Yisrael. And he writes an amazing fact. He writes that the struggle between Yankov and Sura Shalezim actually transpired on Tisha B'Av. The story happened on Tisha B'Av. And the Zohar says, the lav is associated with Tisha B'Av. Why is that? Sefer HaChinuch writes, we need to remember the struggle and the outcome of the struggle, the aftermath of the struggle. Yankov is victorious, but he's also hurt. And throughout the ages, Sura Shel Esav will hurt us. And we will be limping, just like Yankov limped away. We will suffer. We will be pained. We will be hurt. But let us be confident that we will have the upper hand. And we will win. Just like Yankov did. And this is so important to remember. On Tisha B'Av more than on any other day. Because this horrible day in which we lost two Bote Migdash, in which oceans of Jewish blood and tears were shed, more than any other time, we need to remember the struggle. So sometimes in our tortuous history, it looked like there is no hope. There is no hope. Every day I think about my parents as teenagers in Birkenau and Auschwitz, losing their families, about my great Rebbe, the Kloisenberger Rebbe in Auschwitz. In those days, it was very difficult to see any hope. The Nazis were confident, and many others thought the same, that this is the final solution. So it is in times like that that we need to remember the struggle between Yankov and the angel. That was a struggle without hope. How could a human being, how could a mortal fight an angel that's fire? That's fire. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Yankov, nobody could overcome him. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Yankov, Yankov cannot lose. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us just as he was with Yankov. Yes, we will suffer, but we will prevail. Yankov suffered, but he prevailed. And that is the connection between Gid Anasha, and Tisha B'Av. We will remember that struggle, and we will have chizuk and be confident and believe. We might suffer, we might bleed, but we will prevail. So Sefer HaChinuch is an amazing sefer. It is a sefer which touches upon each and every one of the mitzvahs, explaining the rationale of the mitzvah, the meaning of the mitzvah, giving us some of the basic halachas of the mitzvah. But it's not a sefer of tefillos. But there is one tefillah in Sefer HaChinuch, and that is in Mitzvah Gimel, in the mitzvah of Gid Anasha. And the Sefer HaChinuch ends his comments. The angel could not destroy Yaakov. V'tziyaroi b'negiyas ha'yerech, v'chein zera esav metzayar lezera Yaakov. V'lebesof tiyelehem Yeshua mihem. U'kemosho metzino ba'av, just like it transpired with Yaakov our father, shezorcho lo yashemesh lirfuwasoi, v'noisha menatzar. So the Sefer HaChinuch is misparal. Kein Yizrach lono Hashemesh el Moshiach. So let us finish this year with this very same tefillah. Kein Yizrach lono Shemesh el Moshiach v'yirapeinu mitzareinu v'yigoleinu amen b'mehero v'yomeinu.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.